This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Cara LaRance. Today we have music and conversation recorded in our studio with Jazz Current's host Keith Hall. He's talking to an old college friend, jazz pianist Duncan McMillan. A graduate of Western Michigan University's jazz program, McMillan is now based in Detroit, where he's in demand as an educator, arranger, and sideman. He reunited with Keith Hall in the Takeda studio at WMUK and brought along a friend whom we'll meet later. Here's Duncan McMillan and Waltz in D, a tune by Bill Evans.
Thank you. Duncan McMillan on the piano, always sounding so thoughtful, and you have such a beautiful touch, Duncan. I've always loved that about you.
Oh, thanks, Keith.
I guess we should tell everybody the truth. You know, we didn't just meet today.
That's true.
We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful.
We were both students here in our undergraduate studies here at Western Michigan University, mm-hmm. and we kind of grew up together.
Yeah, musically. It seems like only yesterday.
It's been really cool to see you grow over the years. You know, as I move to New York and I come back, mm-hmm. and I know you as this great piano player and a writer, and we collaborated so much together in the 90s. And I come back and you're still playing the piano, but then you've taken up the B3 organ.
That's right, yeah.
So we just heard you play the piano. We're not going to hear you play organ today.
That's right.
But how did you make that transition from the piano to the organ? And
well, you know, it's an interesting story, Keith. I'll try to be as brief and concise as I can. I have a tendency when telling stories to take the scenic route, as my family says. When I left Western, I went and worked on a cruise ship, Seabourn Cruise Lines, for about 6 months with Ian Friedrich and Paul Hartsaw and a bass player that I've remained close friends with in the Metro Detroit area, James Simonson. We ended up working this contract for 6 months, traveling the world, starting in Vancouver, British Columbia, in July of 1997, and finished the contract in Sydney, Australia, January of 1998. And one of the first gigs I played was for a friend's sister's graduation. And I hired James as the bass player on the gig. And he said, "What are you doing, man?" And I explained. And he said, "You should come down to this place called The Music Menu. I play there every Sunday night with this funk band and this really great organ player." And so I went. And the organ player was my long-lost high school friend, Chris Kodish. And Chris said, "Man, if you really dig this organ thing, there's a guy named Bill Hyde that plays here every Thursday with this great guitar player, Johnny Bassett." And I had heard about Bill. It was this mythical story of a personality that didn't seem real. And so I went down and I became hooked. And so Thursday night at the Music Menu was like my secular church service every week. And I quietly sat in the corner and drank coffee and eventually met Bill. It was the first time I ever learned something and I didn't have a teacher. Bill couldn't teach me in a formal way. He could say, "Oh, well, you know, it goes like this." And he would sit and explain bass lines on a tabletop. He didn't have the patience to write it out or talk about it in a Eurocentric way. He had just learned it the old-fashioned way. It forced me to confront so much about myself. And I was just doing it because I had time. And it just was this thing that I wanted to be able to figure out. At first, it was frustrating because, you know, I could play Beethoven sonatas, but I couldn't walk a blues and F to save my life, and why no one had ever noticed that about me was frustrating. And I was determined to figure it out. You know, I actually saw Bill this weekend, and it was a really great moment where he said to me, "You know, Donkey Wunk, every time you hear you're sounding better and better." You know, and it was like the greatest gift. You know, this guy who is like a father figure in so many ways, to tell me that I'm on the right path. And so much of my life story post-school is defined by this idea of being a curator of information. I have so many people that have sown seed into my life. And it's my responsibility to learn that information in a true and authentic way so that one day, as I'm called, I can pass it on. You know, we're all part of this continuum, this river, this ever-flowing river that people have sown into your life, like Billy Hart, you know, yeah. And here you are now teaching it at Western. It's, Mama used to always say, you get something good, you got to pass it on, because you didn't get it from somewhere, you got it from someone.
So, yeah, I've heard you say that before.
Well, you know, that's how I keep her spirit alive.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely done your homework, and I remember you giving organ, B3 Hammond organ master classes at my summer drum intensive a couple of years ago.
So fun. And
I was just in awe of the information that you've acquired and then, you know, how you're able to convey that in a real clear way and a fun way, you know, with all your stories and everything. It's always great to hear you share. So let's go back to the early piano studies. Who were some of your early influences?
Well, music for me really started in church. My first musical experiences were at Christ Church, Grosse Pointe. It's an Episcopal church. It's the church I was raised in. That church choir was like going to music school. We rehearsed 3 times a week, one service on Sunday, and sometimes evensong on Saturday, and weddings and funerals and concerts. I got a chance to sing with the DSO several times with that choir. We traveled to Europe. I sang for the Queen and the royal family at Royal Albert Hall.
Ooh.
I learned so much. You know, and the funny part about that experience that some people chuckle about, but we got paid to be there. It was a really interesting gesture of motivational psychology by this great musician. His name's D. Frederick DeHaven. I'm now actually his pipe organ student, which he revels in the fact that I'm still his student to this day. My dad has sung for years. That's his connection to music. He went to school with people like Roswell Rudd and Peter Duchin, who's the son of Eddie Duchin. He remembers Roswell Rudd and Peter Duchin having a trad jazz band at their school. Both him and Roswell went on to Yale, where he went to school, and he would always go to New York. His favorite hangout was Eddie Condon's. So he grew up loving this jazz music, and it was a record collector and a fan and new musicians and new music and new tunes. I was at U of M for 2 years and struggled and had a great teacher named Dr. Lynn Bartholomew, who was wise enough to know that I needed something different. And that's how I found Western. Boy, I have fond memories of my audition. I came out of the audition and I met Sean Summer and Ian Friedrich, and we played in a practice room for a couple hours. And that's what really, as we would say in modern times, sealed the deal for me to want to come to Western, where I met people like you and John Wojciechowski and, you know, Marcus Reynolds and Lee Wilder and so many other people who I'm connected and yet not connected with at this stage of my life. And yet it really presented an opportunity for me to grow in this journey of music.
Who are some of the pianists you were listening to early on who was really influencing?
Bill Evans is the guy that connected me to wanting to make music. And it's an interesting story. My mom was born and raised in Plainfield, New Jersey. And Bill Evans was born and raised in Plainfield, New Jersey. I struggled with substance abuse addiction when I was a kid. And I met Bess when I got out of rehab. And Bess introduced me to Waltz for Debbie, and learning about this guy and this song and the fact that he came from Plainfield, New Jersey, which meant to me in my youthful mind that somehow he was connected to my mom, meant a great deal. And the sound that he got out of the piano resonated with me in a way that's transcendent. It, of course, has very little reflection to how I play organ, but that's a different language in and of itself. To me, everything really begins and ends with Bill Evans because of not just his own life story, but how much it resonated with me. I'm not shy to say that music saved my life. So, and in a small way, it's all Bill's fault.
Duncan, it's great to have you in the studio. It's great to hear you again and hang out with you, my old buddy. But you've also brought somebody else to the studio today who I'm just meeting today. And I'm excited to talk with her some more. Would you like to introduce your friend?
I would. This is my dear friend, Sarah Barnes D'Angelo.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So glad you're here. You made the trip from the Detroit area.
Yeah, we had a nice little road trip.
Yeah, we did.
It was gorgeous.
So we'd love to hear you guys play something together. What do you have?
This is a medley of sorts. The first segment is Eric Satie's Gymnie au Pied No. 1. And then it's connected to Irving Berlin's Blue Skies.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that song, Irving Berlin, Blue Skies.
Yeah, I thought it would be neat to have Sarah play a little clarinet because it's part of her life story.
Well, it was great to hear you play clarinet.
Thank you.
I know you as a singer, and I didn't know you played clarinet until today. Surprise!
Surprise!
You sound great.
Thank you. My parents and all of their school loans also, thank you.
So you went to school for clarinet?
Yeah, that's all my schooling and all my training is in classical clarinetist.
Where did you go?
I did my undergraduate in Morgantown, West Virginia at West Virginia University, and then we moved to Michigan so that I could get my master's in performance at Michigan and Ann Arbor. Our plan was to come and get in and get out, but we fell in love with Michigan and here we are.
So how did the two of you meet?
Through Paul Keller.
Yeah, that's right. Paul. You should tell the story.
Well, I decided to give singing a try. I was always singing at church, and as a classical clarinetist, as the great uptight classical clarinetist that I was, I didn't take singing very seriously, but everybody around me heard a gift, and when they knew me as a musician, they all thought that I was a singer. And so finally I made my peace and started to pursue it, and I called Paul Keller, my husband, who loves and has always loved to introduce me to musicians that he knows as his wife the singer, which to me is the kiss of death. To meet any musician under the premise of, here's my wife, the singer. I can see the light fade from their eyes.
Yeah.
And, but he did that with Paul, and Paul was like, oh, great. Well, come on stage. And I sang a couple tunes with him, and it exploded. 5 years later, we've got 3 or 4 albums that he's done, and he's written this huge book of big band music for me, and quartet literature and quintet literature and septet literature. I am set for life. It's an unbelievable relationship. It's symbiotic somehow for him. I feel like I have heavily on the favored side of this relationship. And that's how Duncan and I met. He plays in the PKO, the big band. He plays in all of Paul's big and little ensembles. And so we met that way.
Well, let's hear some more music.
Yeah, sure.
What else do you have?
So, I have an adaptive arrangement of sorts on one of our mutually favorite songs and composers. The great Stevie Wonder wrote this magnificent gem called Overjoyed, and I tried to live that aesthetic of first rule of reharm, do no harm. Here it is. Thank you.
Duncan McMillan and Sarah Barnes D'Angelo were recorded in the Takeda studio at WMUK by engineer Martin Clem. We'll hear the second half of their session with Jazz Currents host Keith Hall next week. Jazz Currents is made possible with help from the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend.